This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Got some interesting news to start the show today. The NCAA eliminates spring transfer portal window for football. How about that? There's going to be a lot of edits to this as we go, but college football is officially moving to a single off-season transfer portal. Now, they had the spring portal and then the one, well, I guess in December, it was like, I don't know, late December, early December when they were able to do this. This is fascinating because I think this is, as we continue to go down the road of college sports, but this is specifically football, being the wild, wild west and not knowing who your team is and not knowing who your team is before you play a bowl game too. This is the hope to kind of eliminate this. So let's go through some details of this. The D1 Administrative Committee voted to approve a legislative change that eliminates the spring transfer portal window but did not sign off on establishing January 2nd through the 11th as the lone portal window for FBS and FCS. So it was the spring transfer window, and then it was the December transfer window. Now, guys, where you get confused is, after 4 weeks of the season, guys can say they're going to enter the transfer portal, but they're not actually entering it at that time. They're not like putting their name in. They are saying, all right, I'm going to, so I'm not going to play football anymore for the current team I'm playing for. You could do that in the first 4 weeks. I talked to Ed Lamb about this a little bit yesterday during Football 52. But what that meant was, after 4 weeks, you say you're going to transfer, so you're basically done playing because you don't want to use up any more eligibility, and you're just done with that team. You're still finishing up your classes and all that. You're still at school, but then you could officially enter that name into the portal in December. Now, that's also the same for guys that went ahead and finished the season with their current team, but then once the regular season was over, which is around December. Last year it was December 9th through the 28th. And then the spring portal window was on April 16th through the 25th. The problem with this was, and I don't know how they're working on the logistics, I get why they had it December 9th through the 28th. Mike, do you know why? So that they can prepare and enroll and get set for wherever they're going to go to their next college starting in the next semester. But the problem with that was December 9th and 28th, Mike, isn't that bowl season? So players were entering this portal before that, and teams had no idea who they had, and guys were deciding to be done. Why play one more game in a game that's a bowl game? It's kind of meaningless. Getting to the bowl is meaningful. Playing in the game, to me, is meaningless, unless it's one of the big ones, like playoffs. But still, it's unfortunate. Like, Jay Norvell's being judged a little bit right now based off of the bowl game last year where they got smoked. Well, there were guys that were entering the portal. There were guys he already knew were going to leave, and they were either playing or they were gone. They'd already said, all right, well, I'm entering, so there's no point in playing this game. So I love this idea. I don't know how they're going to work this here. But so here it is. The initial proposal would require college football players to wait until January 2nd, the day after the completion of the college football playoff quarterfinals, to enter their names in the NCAA transfer portal. The tough part about that, though, is like January 2nd, You got what, 2 more weeks until the next semester starts? So you would, if you enter the portal, you got a lot of work to do in 2 weeks to get set for your new school, get set for your new team. So that was the argument for having the transfer portal in December. So you had essentially a month to figure out all the logistics of your next stop. I don't know. I think it's fine. Make it more complicated. If you make it more complicated, they think twice about entering the portal. So if it's like, you have to wait till January 2nd, oh, great, I got to figure all this out in 2 weeks. I got to get picked up. I got to enroll and all that stuff. To me, there's no issue with that. I've said for a while now, if we're going to allow this transfer portal to be this way and you're not losing eligibility by transferring like it used to be, a year of eligibility, then, okay, tighten it up. Get rid of the window in December, and then shortly after that, the window in April. So I'm totally good with this. December 9th through the 28th was the spring portal window, or no, the first window, and then April 16th through the 25th was the window for spring last year. Go Pokes texting in. Outside of the college football playoffs, are bowl games basically an extension of spring practice, LOL? To me, they are. You know, getting to a bowl game, that's the baseline. You got to qualify for a bowl. That's what we've always said. 6 wins and you're at least somewhat respectable. I don't care what you do in the actual game. Because you got 3 or 4 weeks off in between your final game of the season and then the first bowl game. It's just different. I've always kind of viewed it as it's a neat opportunity. You're going somewhere cool. You're going to get swag and all that. But it's not like your regular season practices. There's a lot more distractions. So I could, and I get it. I feel for the Rams fans that were like, we went to watch this bowl game and they blew it up and it was really big. And then we showed out like, well, we didn't show out. For me, I don't care. What I'm judging Jay Norvell off of is what he's done in the regular season. I've always felt this way. I think bowl games are a crapshoot. I think even when it was just the champion, before the playoffs started, before we had the playoffs, and Oregon lost like their fourth to last game or something, and that basically knocked them out. You had players on that team. This was years ago, Mike. But you had players on the team basically saying, yeah, once we knew we weren't going to be playing for a national championship, we kind of, it's not that we gave up, but the attention to detail every single day in practice goes away. And if you don't have that, you're going to be a lesser player. So that was happening all over the country, whether people want to admit it or not. That was absolutely happening. This might add a little more to that now, because you could still have guys that say, I'm going to enter in January 2nd, so why would I play one more game for you? That might impact the teams that are picking them up. It could. This is like, well, you gave up on your team. You had one more game to go. Why didn't you play in the bowl game? Well, I wanted to save myself. I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want to get injured or anything like that. Again, make this thing difficult. The elimination of the spring transfer period is a move that the NCAA has considered in recent years. It was first established as a 15-day window in April of 23 and marked the final deadline for players to transfer and be immediately eligible at their next school. In 24-25, the spring window was reduced to a 10-day period. The spring window has become a source of frustration. See, I don't like... The spring one sucks, too. Because what's the point of spring football? To get an early look at your team. But you get an early look at your team, and Billy Bob suddenly is like, man, I didn't play a lot. I wasn't featured a lot in the spring game. Or I wasn't seeing reps with the starting group. I'm leaving. When maybe they were a backup to a guy that gets hurt or something, but they leave. So getting rid of the spring portal window, to me, is a good move. You want to allow a portal in a world where they can transfer and do whatever the hell they want. And no, there's no sitting out, whatever. Now, I'm okay with that. But having more windows for them where they can do this is silly to me. Having one in December and one in April is weird. Just put one transfer portal in, and it's January. So, well done. Well, Brady, the logistics of it now, that because that was always the problem. Well, they've got 2 weeks now to figure out where they're going to school and all this, and not my problem. You want to transfer, don't make it so easy. You know, don't make it to the point where, eh, I like this team. Oh, we made it to a bowl game. I don't know what my future's going to look like. I want to try something new. Okay? Well, you got to wait till January 2nd. That's fine. And teams have been frustrated with the spring window because we're putting a lot of work into the spring, trying to get guys ready and get an idea for what our team's going to look like in a few months when fall camp comes. And then suddenly, we're losing dudes. ESPN notes, the spring window has become a source of frustration among coaches in recent years. Unexpected post-spring departures are difficult to replace, and the elimination of the one-time transfer rule has given players and agents the leverage to demand more money by threatening to transfer. Coaches have also taken advantage of the spring window to cut underperforming players and bring in additional transfers. This year, more than 1,100 FBS scholarship players entered the transfer portal in the month of April. 1,100. Head coaching changes currently will trigger like a 30-day window for players to that wish to enter the portal and explore a transfer. See, I think that that covers those bases too, because if you're firing coaches, most of the time that happens in January because the buyouts and all that stuff typically go down when the calendar turns over into the next year. Texter says, or player X's agent starts shopping and based on spring practice, or a player goes down in the spring at an A4 and a program X's goes and grabs a player. Spring window being eliminated is a huge boost for G6's. Absolutely. You make your commitment in January if you're transferring, or you stay there and you go through spring. So many things can happen in spring. But that's why guys leave. Maybe they think they're better than they are. And they're like lighting it up in spring practice. And it's like, oh gosh, I'm torching all these dudes. I'm out. Or I'm number two on the depth chart. I was told I would be number one if I came here. And I'm number two. And this is year two of me being here. I thought I would move up. I'm out the door. Also for the coaches. Players, we worked our butt off to get you. And now we don't really, now we kind of don't like you. Not that we dislike you, but your ability. So we're going to look to replace your position with the transfer. I think it works for both sides. This to me is a no-brainer. And I don't really care if it's more complicated because you have 2 weeks until the next semester starts. I don't care. Mike, I don't know if you pay attention to the transfer portal stuff, but this is the kind of thing that you have to tighten up. If you're going to have a transfer portal where there are no, like, yes, agents are now demanding more money. So that's part of it. But giving them two windows to do this, you got to survive two windows. Think about that. You're a coach, and you're like, I'm constantly looking over my shoulder. Guys could leave at any, you know, they could want to leave at any time. But if Billy Bob wants to transfer, and he knows he's going to transfer after 4 weeks of football, but he can't until December, still, that's not, after this week will be the fourth week of college football for most. That gives them, they've got to sit back and wait for the month, rest of September, October, and November, but then they can start working to transfer then if in December. Now they have to wait until January 2nd because they're not supposed to be having any conversations with anybody until your name is actually in the transfer portal, although maybe that's happening. But you, if you make it known on your social media, I'm entering the transfer portal. Okay, that's not till January 2nd. Great. Teams can note that away. They can't reach out to you, but they can put that away. They are reaching out, but they're not supposed to. So this, to me, is a necessary move in what's going on in college sports. So for once, it feels like they kind of got something right here. Many coaches have expressed support for a January transfer window. Ohio State coach Ryan Day spoke out against it earlier this month, telling reporters, "It doesn't make any sense to me that coaches must focus on recruiting transfers while their team is still competing for a national championship." Yeah, but we're talking about more teams than just the two that are the two or three or four, however many at that point, are competing for a national championship. This is better overall. Yeah, it's going to screw over those teams that are still going and still game planning for their playoff games, but I say tough because those teams are typically the ones that have it easy anyway when it comes to the transfer portal. I can't hear you, Mike. Testing? Got nothing. Nope.
Sorry.
Your lips were moving.
Some of those teams are like the Ohio States are getting away with the, oh, hey, kid from Memphis who's really good at football. Why don't you come over here to Ohio State? This is ultimately a pretty good idea as long as you can get into your classes. Like maybe you don't have to take those spring classes, but can you get that? I never had to do anything this complicated, but in that window, are you able to get fully adjusted into that new school? Because if you can, great, but it has to be like foolproof. Like it has to be the best thing for the student athlete, because this is for the student athlete and also for the school, but you can't just make it before the school. You can't make it too hard on the student athlete.
I don't have a problem with making it a little too hard on the student athlete. If you want to do this, you got to get your ducks in a row quickly, but you can still do it. You can still transfer. If you really think that this place is bad for you and you need to go test out, you know what, this will, we'll get rid of some of the, I just wanted a change of scenery. Now, if you really can't stand your coach and it's not good and all that, okay, you're going to put the work in to leave. But if it's just I was tired of Fort Collins. I got two more years left. I want to go try Vegas. I want to go try a team in New York or Chicago. I don't love that. Like, you don't get to do that in the pros. You can demand a trade, but typically you sign a contract and you are there for 4 years. That's what you're going to help fan bases too. Because they don't want guys just leaving because, I know my guy, Big Hub, who texts the show regularly. He's a former Ram. I know that there was negative stuff going on with that coaching staff. We all kind of learned later, right, with Adazio's crew. That I'm like, this is why I love the transfer portal. And if Big Hub's passionate enough about getting out of there and still continuing his football career, he's going to put the work in to make sure he's going to enroll. But they'll expedite. You know, you got 2 weeks to do it. They will expedite it. They'll make it fast because all regular students, if they're transferring, I know Tanner transferred from CSU to UNC. He probably got that done a month or so before he actually left. These guys are going to get about 2 weeks. I don't have an issue with that.
If they're able to do it and it's not a big deal, like if you can set up all your classes, you can, you know, find a school that wants you, that's great. But if it's just too hard, if so many students are doing it that they can't all be, you know, picked out of the portal and there are plenty of desirable athletes in there, then I have a problem with that. I get what you're saying. I just also think, I don't know, I it's a good experiment. We'll see how it works.
They're basically taking the December 1 and the April 1 and kind of trying to meet somewhere because you can't go after January. You can't go after January.
And you can't, and going before January, it's like you're
toilet
screwing bowl
over
brought to you by
most
poop.
Right. You're screwing over most of those teams. I get where Ohio State's coming from.
Because they never go to a crap bowl.
Right.
They usually like.
But that's a small majority of college football. I mean, 12 teams get in right now? Is that what it is? 12? And when does the playoffs actually start? The quarterfinals starts. When does the quarterfinals typically start? The season's college football semifinals are scheduled for January 8th and 9th. I mean, if you're one of those teams that gets in and you January 2nd was the new portal window, I guess I just look at it. It's almost like a way teams get punished in the NFL if they're good, right? They can't have a good draft pick. At some point, you have to start doing something for the other teams and give them a little bit of a one-up on the rest of these teams. Now, Ohio State doesn't need to go out. Dude, all they have to do is send a text. That's it. Guy into the portal. There's not a lot of work that they have to do. They're going to have everything on film. They're only going to get Ohio State's only going to get obvious guys. All right, we got to take a break. I want to get into this. 25 minutes after the hour, We got a fun interview coming up. You guys have heard us talk a lot about the World Long Drive World Championships coming up here in LaSalle. It's going to be so much fun. We've been talking about it a lot. Joining us at the bottom of the hour is going to be David Livingston, Chief Commercial Officer for World Long Drive. World Long Drive is the ultimate full-throttle competition to see who can outlast their opponent while hitting a golf ball the farthest. It's going to be at Big Turf Farm in LaSalle, right here in our own backyard, and it's coming up not this weekend, but next. So we'll catch up with David here in a moment. Kevin Lytle will join me today. Thursday night special time. Michael, we're 2-0. We're feeling good. It's time to start pulling away. Separator week for Mr. Thursday night. We'll be right back.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA all season.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall. Kick it!
Yeah, I like this text from Faith on the transfer portal stuff, and we got to take a break here in a minute. It should be harder on the student athlete. If it's that important to them, they will put in the work. Yeah, you might get student athletes kind of second guess it. 11:30 the time, Mike. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're catching up with David Livingston, Chief Commercial Officer of World Long Drive, coming up on September 25th at Bigfoot Turf Farm in LaSalle. So we're excited to catch up with David here in just a moment. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, and we've been talking about this event coming up here not this weekend, but next weekend, the World Long Drive World Championships going to be taking place at Bigfoot Turf Farm in LaSalle. Check them out online at worldlongdrive.com. We've here on this show, and I know the fellows on Good Morning NoCo, we've had a chance to interview a couple of the longest hitters in the world, so that's been really exciting. Joining me now is David Livingston, Chief Commercial Officer of World Long Drive. David, thank you so much for giving us some time, my friend. I love this, and it sounds like we are in for a treat coming up here in a couple of weeks.
It's going to be very, very exciting, September 25 to 27. And Brady, thanks for making time for me on the show this morning.
Well, this is the best part about golf. I just want to see people get up there and launch it. And that's exactly what we're going to see on September 25th through the 27th is, we're talking long freaking drives here. There's nothing better than seeing someone really get a hold of that golf ball and just watching it soar.
Brady, we feature the most exciting shot in drive and one that's relevant to all golfers, just hitting it long and straight off the tee. We're really optimistic. In fact, we're offering an incentive to our athletes who reach the semifinals and finals for hitting a 500-yard drive on the men's side and a 400-yard drive on the women's side. These athletes can really knock the cover off the ball, no pun intended.
Well, and that extra incentive, too. And being here in Colorado, knocking on wood for you guys that the weather is going to be pretty good. No reason it shouldn't. We've already got the nasty stuff out of the way the last few days. So I think we're clearing up perfectly for, next weekend.
We're excited. Forecast looks good for Thursday, September 25th through Saturday, September 27th. And we know that the energy and excitement will build over those 3 days. We're looking at Saturday, the 27th of September, as Championship Saturday. We'll be crowning our champions in our amateur division. our women's division, and then finally our elite division, which features 30 of the absolute best strikers of the golf ball for distance in the world. We're also really excited to be partnering with Bigfoot Turf Farm. Greg Johnson, Coloradan and living in LaSalle, has been a big supporter of Long Drive for many, many years. He lives on a 160-acre plot of land in LaSalle. And, you know, he specializes in growing golf turf. So we've got perfect conditions in terms of the venue. We think the weather will be great. We're hitting right into the front range on our championship grid, and we're really excited about the upcoming event.
Well, and David, the longest drive of the year is 485 yards. Is that right?
Correct.
And it happened at Bigfoot Turf Farm, right?
That was in LaSalle.
Yeah.
This will be the third of three events that we've had in LaSalle over the past 2 months, you know, culminating in the World Championships. We've already exceeded 485.
Wow.
So with the adrenaline and excitement that our top men's division hitters will have going into the final, I don't want to guarantee anything, but we're really looking forward to that 500-yard drive. That'll be a world-long drive, world record when that happens.
That would be okay. So how optimistic? You sound pretty optimistic that this might be the time we're going to see that 500-yarder.
It really is something. You know, this is the competition that these athletes peak towards their whole season. So they're taking care of their bodies. You know, they're taking care of their golf swings, and they're focused on, you know, putting all of their energy, effort, and talent, you know, into delivering on the hitting stage at the World Championships. And it's just when we get down to the final rounds of competition, our quarterfinals, semifinals, and then the final two, the adrenaline is pumping so hard that it just really, really creates some of the most outstanding drives we see over the course of the competition.
David Livingston joining us, Chief Commercial Officer of World Long Drive, the World Long Drive World Championships, December 25th through the 27th at Bigfoot Turf Farm in LaSalle. Now, this is what's cool about this. There's so many things that's cool about this, but the World Long Drive World Championships, that's going to be featured on the Golf Channel, too. I think that is just awesome.
Yeah, we're really excited to showcase the greater Greeley area, highlight northern Colorado as well. We've really made a lot of outreach into the local community. We've partnered with Visit Greeley. We feel like, you know, this is an exciting event and also opportunity for this part of the country. And we know it's going to be a great competition. We've also made it easy to attend. It's a free event.
Mm-hmm.
We've got free parking. We've got food trucks. We've got music. We've got entertainment for the whole family, including our kids zone presented by Colorado Golf Expo. So, you know, if there's a day to focus on coming out, love to see fans come out all 3 days. That championship Saturday really gets started in late morning on Saturday, the 27th, and then concludes with, again, the best hitters in the world competing for what we call our World Long Drive World Championship belt.
Well, and also, this is what's cool, too, on that Saturday, later in the afternoon, there's going to be tell me more about this free youth clinic. Some of the hitters are going to be, some of the best hitters in the world are going to be there trying to teach some of the youngsters a thing or two.
Yeah, we've connected with the First Tee of Colorado, as well as the local Weld County golf community. And so, supporting our partner, Newton Shafts, we're hosting a junior clinic at 3 p.m. on Saturday the 27th. That'll lead right into the women's finals. And we'll have call them competitors and golf entertainers from Pin High Golf, Josh Cassidy, who's a local Coloradan, and Troy Teal, you know, giving instruction to the kids, letting them hit some balls off the tee. And, you know, hopefully it's really starting to build the idea in their young minds of where they could, you know, take their talents as they grow older.
David, talk to me about your background a little bit, because we've had a chance to talk to some of the athletes, and this Monica Living was so great a couple of weeks ago, and her story was really fascinating. Like, she's, hey, I didn't really know. I golfed in college. I was kind of done with it. Then I'm out. I kind of put the clubs down, and next thing you know, I'm at a golf tournament, and I launch it into a professional at that point. And she's like, I'm so worried I knocked him out or I hit him or I got close to him. He's more like, dude, you should be doing this. Like, you should be participating. How did you get to where you are with the World Long Drive World Championships?
Well, I appreciate you asking a little bit about me, and I'll be brief. I am an avid golfer, but anyone who comes out to watch me hit is going to see a ball go about 225 yards and land on the right side of the fairway. No, I'm on the business end. You know, we're building this brand, this sport. It's been around for a long time, but it's had ownership and management by different organizations. Company I work for, GF Sports Entertainment, acquired this property from the Golf Channel post-COVID, and we're building it up so that we can bring this sport, long drive, to the athletes, many of whom are successful in other sports, to focus on something that we tend to find a lot of big, strong, highly coordinated athletes do well, which is hit the ball off the tee.
How do you find these? Again, we're talking to Monica. Hers is kind of a unique story there. But how are you finding these amazing hitters? I mean, you guys are getting more than 120 of the longest hitters in the world. How do you go about that? Do they come to you? Do you discover them? Give me some of the rundown there.
It's an interesting mix. And we find, you know, a lot of common threads between those highly competitive athletes in other sports are 2024 men's world champion Sean Johnson is from Durango, Colorado. You know, he's a AAA baseball pitcher in the Blue Jays organization. He just sort of took up golf after his baseball career was finished, meaning he had more time to play and got into it a little bit more. And just like Monica, he found, wow, I'm really hitting the ball a lot farther than my buddies. And a couple people pointed him, you know, hey, have you ever tried long drive? He did some research on his own, started training, and now, you know, he's the defending champion going into this year's event. We want to see, you know, hockey players, football players, soccer players, athletes on the women's side in volleyball, softball, who suddenly take up golf, understand that this is a great way to keep that competitive edge and showcase their talents to an audience that appreciates both the spectacle, but on the golf side, it's incredible to stand behind these athletes and see how far they're able to hit the ball.
Well, and again, you mentioned it, but it's so cool for people because it's free admission for the entire weekend. So you come out, free admission, come by, and then there's food trucks, there's vendors, there's music, all this is going on. And then you gather around and just watch these men and women just absolutely blast away.
Yeah, and I'll add one more special feature. We're going to have a skydiving jump right before the men's final on September 27th. And you know, we should have some other entertainment factors that will increase the energy and the atmosphere around the competition that afternoon.
David, what's the best way for people to kind of follow along? Obviously, this event coming up in less than 2 weeks. But if they want to keep track of what's going on with World Long Drive throughout the year, social media, all that. But I've been kind of recommending the website to worldlongdrive.com.
Worldlongdrive.com is the first stop I would recommend anyone make just to get an overview of our sport, a detailed schedule of the World Championships competition so you know when the different divisions are going to be competing each day. You can follow us on social media. Just type in World Long Drive, one word. And, you know, we'll provide all the information. We'd love to have as many people in the local community come out and just experience a morning and afternoon, or even come out and watch the championship belts get handed out on Saturday, September 27th.
Is there I'm on your X account now, and these are just monster distances that people get to enjoy. I'm hoping, I'm pushing for somebody to hit that 500, but even if they don't, I mean, we're talking 485. This is still outstanding.
Hey, fingers crossed, and like you said, we've already surpassed 485, so we are really fully expecting to see that 500-yard drive come Saturday the 27th.
I can't wait. David, did I miss anything? I want to make sure we get all the information we possibly can, because it's an exciting event for our northern Coloradoans right here in their own backyard.
Yeah, for those people who aren't able to attend, either the 25th, 26th, or 27th, as you mentioned earlier, Brady, we are producing a full television recap of the event for Golf Channel that'll air a little later in the year in December, but it'll highlight not only the competition and the venue, But our time in Greeley, and again, all of the welcome reception we've received from Northern Colorado.
I can't wait. David, appreciate your time, my friend. Such an exciting thing here for us locally. So we're excited that you guys are bringing it back and hopefully keeping it around Bigfoot Turf Farm each and every year in LaSalle. And, man, we'll catch up again.
Thanks, Brady. It's a great venue and should be a great event. Look forward to seeing everyone the 25th through the 27th.
Sounds great, my friend. We'll catch up with you soon. Good luck. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. Take care.
David Livingston, Chief Commercial Officer for World Long Drive. Their longest drive of the year was at Bigfoot Turf Farm. 485 yards. Wow. I mean, I'm watching it right now. Jack Smith hitting that bad boy on their social media account, on their X account. This is fun. You guys got to check this out. Go to worldlongdrive.com or follow them on X at worldlongdrive. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll take a short break here. Michael, Bo Nix, Sean Payton. Is there a riff? Should we be worried? Or is it just two feisty competitors being feisty? We'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
Your college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron.
You not like my dance?
No, that I don't. Was that a dance? I thought you weren't okay. I was a little concerned back there.
What
was that? I don't know what that was.
I don't really like that song, so I was just moving randomly.
I feel like even if you liked the song, that's what your dancing would be called, moving randomly. With Michael Kirkpatrick.
I'd be the Elaine Bennis of The Office.
The what?
Seinfeld.
I don't. That was a terrible show.
Great show.
Awful show.
Groundbreaking.
No, it was dumb. It was about
nothing. It influenced the original Office.
It was about nothing. The Office at least was a paper company. And are they going to get their business going? Or is they going to be shut down? Seinfeld's just a terrible comedian with friends. I mean, what are they in their 30s and nobody has a husband or a wife, and nobody has, like, they're always just hanging out at diners and their apartments, and it's not even real. It's not real life. Now everybody loves Raymond. That's
Deborah.
That's because that actually relates to people.
Deborah, you're mad at me again.
Most people watching Seinfeld, that doesn't relate to any. Friends and Seinfeld, same thing. That doesn't relate to anybody. Nobody's watching that going, yeah, that's just like when I was 32 and I was hanging out at the coffee shop all day. No, first off, they're at a bar. They're not at a coffee shop. And like, I don't know. Seinfeld's just awful. Just terrible.
I'm so jealous of my brother.
Aaron.
Why are you jealous of me?
I don't know what you're trying to do. Is this another one of those weird dances, but now it's affecting your voice? Because you don't sound like anybody.
No, that's exactly how Raymond talks.
Aaron says, I guarantee you'll laugh at the Elaine dancing scene on Seinfeld. I won't. I tried watching Seinfeld. It's not funny. I mean, it's just, Kramer, come here. Oh, we ordered pizza. There's no more pizza. Like that. No, that's terrible.
He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
I mean, okay, you can make fun of that. At least it's got a good storyline. Seinfeld, what's the storyline? What's its identity, Mike? Coach Prime reference. What's Seinfeld's identity? A bunch of 35-year-olds hang out and they go to restaurants and funny things happen. Awkward moments. Oh boy, let's do this for 10-plus seasons. That'll be fun.
I think it was 9 seasons. And, yeah, it's basically the story of 4 sociopaths.
Okay. Texter Faith says, now slow down on Friends. Friends had more of a story, though. They eventually grew up, and they got married, and they had kids, and they dealt with real-life stuff. Seinfeld's just whatever. And he's a terrible comedian. It's not even good comedy that they're, oh, here's what happened to me today. Seinfeld's awful. There you go, Mike. There you go. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.